Praise the Lord. As I mentioned a while ago, we will not have any 5 o'clock, no ensemble at 4:30, no choir at 5, no teens at 5, no prayer times at 5. We will come in at 6, have a service, and be available. Certainly, we would not encourage anyone to risk anything as far as any dangerous situation. If you live far away, if you're, it is going to be exciting. Such like we haven't seen in a while around here. So, God's in charge of all that. He has control. But as long as I just live right up the alley, I think I can make it. I hope. And it shouldn't be too dangerous. Although, I do remember the blizzard of 78. I remember working that night at RCA in Marion, Indiana, and trying to get home. And we got stuck, and a four-wheel drive vehicle came and I was riding with another worker, and I remember going from the road to my house, which was about from here to the back, not the very back of the auditorium, but the back of the first section there. It was about how far, and I didn't think I could walk that far. It was so bad. The snow, if you remember, the wind was blowing so hard. I'm thinking it was 50, 60 miles an hour with the snow. Literally, my eyes filled with snow before I could take 2 steps. I mean, it was unbelievable. And it was so cold, you couldn't breathe. And I honestly, you don't want to be out in stuff like that. It's just very, very dangerous. So anyway, we will hope that if you live close to here and everything, that you can come and get a blessing. And that's why we have the doors open. So praise the Lord. And as long as we have heat in here, that's always a good thing too. All right, we are on lesson number 29. Does anyone need lesson 29? Lesson 29. Looks like we all have them. Thank you. Very good. And we are still in Revelation chapter 13, talking about the arising beast from the sea. And again, this being the Antichrist. Revelation 13:4 is our memory verse. Let's go ahead and say that together and begin. Revelation 13:4, "And they worshiped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. And they worshiped the beast, saying, Who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him?" Revelation 13:4. And again, Revelation 13:4, "And they worshiped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. And they worshiped the beast, saying, Who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him?" Revelation 13:4. And again, Father, we thank you for being our God and for controlling the weather, the elements. We know that you're God. You allow the snow and even this kind of snow, and there's a reason. And so we ask that you will meet with us, those who make it in this morning, those who make it tonight. We want your blessing. We want what you want us to have. And those who cannot make it, I believe you'll have a blessing for them as well. And so please watch over our folks. Be with Jim Collins, who hurt himself when he fell, and just help him to get to feeling better about that. I pray you'll be with the Warner family and give them your comfort at this time. And just help in that situation as well. We thank you for being our God and for loving us. And pray you bless our lesson now in Jesus' name. Amen. So we continue with the talk about the Antichrist. We looked at his personal characteristics. And I think the key thing is he does represent the world. He represents a worldly system that we certainly know all about. We see it very clearly called the cosmos. And he represents that, but he is a human. The Antichrist will be a person, and we spent a lot of time talking about that. We talked about his promotion then and how he rises to power. And again, we cannot push aside the fact that he rises to power by permission of the Lord. And again, it's just like snow. It's just like, and this year, why, the end of December and now already, Sunday morning, Wednesday, Sunday, Wednesday, all these big snows are coming in, and it's like, God, it's when we have church, and it's, and whenever you talk to God like that, do you ever, feel like he's looking down. I know. I've seen your schedule. It's like, but you just yield and you say, God, you're in control, as Job had to do. And as we would recognize, as you know, you read about the Antichrist, you see the evil, and you think, God, crush him like a bug, you know? And yet God has his will and his plan. And so permission is crucial. The power of Satan, of course, he will have that. The 10-nation organization, spent a lot of time talking about that. Again, there's absolutely nothing wrong with people, you know, looking at the scene of today, looking at, you know, 10-nation confederations and people lining up. But don't, you know, just don't get wrapped up in it, because people have done it for years. People have named 10-nation confederations before. And the Bible does not say. There's enough. The one thing we know for positive is this 10-nation confederation is, well, there's two things we know for positive. One, it's all the same. You know, it's all, the 10 toes are all part of the whole beast, the whole image, all right, as far as Daniel. We know that. That's very clear. The 10 horns here with 10 crowns, it's all part of this one system. And so we understand this is a system against God. We also know that it comes tumbling down. Amen. So we know that for a fact. But to try to say, well, I know the big toe on the right foot equals this, and the big toe on the left foot, you know, you can't. We don't know. We just don't know. Because, again, you can make arguments for it being Muslim nations. And there are people doing that right now. They are, you know, they're finding 10 Muslim nations, and you know, you can make a great argument of it being Roman Catholicism, you know, and there's going to be a great argument there. European, the Western powers, people have argued that for years, that it's going to be like that. My whole part of when I decided to teach on Revelation is, when it's subjective, just say it. We don't know. Because if the Bible doesn't say, we don't know. And so we do know that this 10-nation confederation, whatever it is and whoever it is, will help promote the Antichrist and fling him into prominence during the tribulation time. Then a false religious system. Verse 1 talked about blasphemy and of course, the false prophet. It is going to be very religious. The Antichrist will be a religious man. One of the greatest, to me, one of the greatest ideas as far as my own thinking of how there's false religion is the Antichrist will be religious. He's against God, and yet he's religious. He has a false prophet, and yet he's religious. You know, there's warning after warning in Scripture that just because, you know, many will say in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not? And then they'll name all their great works and their religious works. But he said, I never knew you. I never knew you. And religion can't save, and we know that. But anyway, so religion will be very, very prominent in pushing him forward. His own charisma, his own ability. Satan, you know, certainly can give ability to people. And then we talked last week and finished with a false resurrection. Now I say false or real resurrection. Personally, I believe it is a false resurrection. I don't think he is actually raised from the dead. But I can't discount that. If God allows that to take place, it would have to be the power of God, because Satan doesn't have that power. And so, but whatever, it will definitely spur his promotion, as far as, because he will have a wound unto death. The Bible says, as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. And so whatever this wound is and whatever takes place, it will definitely cause people to pay very close attention and worship the Antichrist. And so we move on and we come to what I call capital G, and that is through a false peace program. A false peace program. Daniel 8 in verse 25. Daniel 8, 25. Daniel chapter 8. And verse 25. And through his policy also he shall cause craft to prosper in his hand, and he shall magnify himself in his heart, and by peace shall destroy many. Isn't that interesting? I remember when we studied that in Daniel. By peace shall destroy many. Wait a minute, peace is supposed to be peaceful. How do people, so many have died in the name of peace over the time of mankind. How many have died over peace? And it's just very interesting. He will have his false peace program. You'll notice, and we did study this years ago in Daniel 9 and verse 27, he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And again, remember, the 1 week is 7 years, a period of seven. A heptad is what we talked about. And so for a 7 year, there is a 7 year covenant, which I believe is what will take place at the beginning of the tribulation or at the rapture of the church. And there will be this 7 year covenant, if you will. And it says he'll confirm the covenant. So in my mind, I see him again being very, very prominent at the beginning of the tribulation. He will have lots and lots of power, and he will work a covenant out. And in my mind, I see armies maybe surrounding the Jews, the threat, which the threat is there now. It seems to always be there, but maybe it'll even be worse yet, and he will step in when the rapture takes place. Again, the rapture, remember, no event has ever taken place on the earth like the rapture. You've got to realize what an event that is going to be. I mean, if you've paid attention to warnings on the television and the radio, winter storm warning, 11 inches of snow, winds 50 mile an hour, cold and all that, if you'd have been at Myers yesterday and Friday, And that's just for snow. Now try to imagine the rapture taking place. Seriously, it will be unprecedented in history. There's no event that'll be able to describe what is going to take place when the rapture takes place. It's going to be unbelievable. And so somebody's going to have to step up. Somebody's going to have to step in, and he will. Be one of those anyway, and he'll confirm the covenant. There will be a covenant. In other words, hey, folks, with all this chaos, with all that's going on, we've got to get along. We need to hold hands and sing Kumbaya, or something, because we're going to have to, look at the world. It's a mess. Planes are going to fall out of the sky, car wrecks, buildings destroyed. It's going to be utter chaos. Somebody's going to have to step in. He will then, and really the covenant covenant with many for 1 week, and we recognize that the Jews are a big part of that, and who knows what, how many nuclear weapons are about to be launched toward Jerusalem and Israel, and I'm just saying it's going to be wild. But he's going to step up, and by way of internet, by way of media, by way of whatever, he will seal some sort of a peace treaty, covenant, if you will. And it'll be a 7 year. Okay, folks, we're going to have to. It's going to take 7 years to get everything straightened out and worked out. And by the way, that sounds right, doesn't it? I mean, it sounds like okay. Somebody will do that. Haven't we watched things like that happen? Haven't we watched as countries are about to attack somebody else, or they're about to they're surrounding another nation, and somebody steps in and whoa, we need a treaty, we need to have and they sign these treaties. Okay, well that's what it's talking about, and so he's going to be a hero. And by the way, aren't people heroes when they do that? Sure looks like it, doesn't it? This guy's a hero. He established peace with all these people. And again, it's going to be one way. Oh, by the way, the Bible is clear in the book of Daniel. It does say that he confirms the covenant with many for 1 week. But then it says, and in the midst of the week, that's after 3.5 years, in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate. What's he do? he breaks the treaty himself in the midst of the week with the Jews, and now the persecution. That's why we believe the middle of the tribulation begins the most fierce persecution of God's people, which again, the tribulation is, in Daniel anyway, the main reason seems to be God dealing with the Jews. And so in the midst of that 3.5 years, he breaks it. Now, what does that mean? Again, speculation. As you look at our day, for years, everybody blames the Jews for everything, especially in the Middle East, because it's Muslim. You know, it's all Muslim, and it's all the Jews' fault. So in my mind, I see first 3.5 years, everybody says, okay, we're going to leave Israel alone. We're going to, you know, we're going to quit fighting. We're all going to sing Kumbaya. We're going to play games together, and we're all going to get along, and we're going to hug and everything else. And everybody's going to get along because it's chaos. Well, but the anger toward the Jews keeps going, and it's all their fault. And this is their fault. And of course you have all the plagues going on. You have the things we've already talked about, and people can't eat, and it's all their fault. And by the way, God will keep blessing his people. So is that going to make people mad? Have you ever thought I shouldn't even say this, but have you ever thought that your power went out and it's 40 below zero wind chill, your power went out, but your neighbor has a generator and they won't let you come over? You ever thought about that? You going to be happy with them? Anyway, just something to think about. I don't have a generator, so I'm just telling you, if you do, let me know. No, but I'm just saying, so here's people that are doing okay, and here's everybody else. The whole world is starving. The whole world is suffering. The whole world is going through all this stuff. So now, so you have 3.5 years, and so it's always in the news. You know, here's a picture of the average person starving to death, and here's the picture of one of God's people, the Jews, and they're doing okay, and people get mad. So now, 3.5 years, he breaks the covenant with the Jews. And I include it as being a promotion of him because I think the world will say, yes, good, they deserve it. And I think that's what's going to happen. Now, again, that's speculation. And at any rate, this whole false peace program is going to promote him and raise him up. And then I think very, very clearly, capital H, he will be promoted through a master plan of deception. Okay, if Satan is the father of lies and the Antichrist is empowered by the dragon, who is Satan, the devil, then he's going to be deceptive. And if you'll pardon me, and I really try very hard not to be negative, but can we all agree that politics is very deceptive? There's lots of deception in politics, and there's lots of deception in government, and there's just a lot of deception. And so it's not going to be anything new taking place, We've watched with the healthcare thing. Well, I promise this, and a lot of times promises get made that just should never have been considered because it was an impossibility in the first place. But with the Antichrist, we're talking about a plan of deception. You've heard me say this because we look at all the conspiracies, and well, we don't even deal with that percentage of the conspiracies. They're all out there, but there's one conspiracy, and that is Satan's conspiracy. And his conspiracy is, you look at everything else, and really there is his, and it is a master plan of deception. Let's just look at some verses. Matthew 24 and verse 4. And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Very, very clear. And we see that even today. We see it people claiming to be the Messiah, people claiming to be the one. People, you know, there are, and there are shows about that, movies about those kind of things. And I believe we are being primed for that kind of deception to take place. You have to remember the Antichrist is going to make bold claims about being God. The Bible talks about blasphemy. The Bible talks about worshiping him. He will not deny that worship. He will accept that worship as Satan accepts worship today. Thousands, millions of people worship Satan in many, many different ways, music being one of the number one ways. When I was a teenager and the rock music and the whole atmosphere and the raising the hand, and I don't even imitate the sign that is a salute to Satan, and everybody's doing it. I mean, they're doing it. They're raising their hands up. They're saluting. In other words, they're saying, "I salute you, Satan." And I'm sorry, folks, but people my age, that's how they grew up. That's how they think. And they are going to have no problem with worshiping Satan because it's been done. It's been done. Verse 11, many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. Again, in religion, false prophets. Okay? And again, if somebody preaches or teaches that which is contrary to the Word of God, they are a false prophet. Would you agree? Yeah, it was pretty weak. Yeah, but see, we live in a day where you can't even say that. You can't to get up and preach and say, well, this person said this, that's heresy. It's like, where's your love? Why don't you love that person? You should love them because they're doing the work. No. If it's false, then it's not true. Boy, that's good. And you ought to write that down. That's deep. But that's true. If it's false, it's not true. By the way, that's what deception is. It's giving untruths and trying to make it look like it's true. The King James Bible issue is why we have made such. I'm hearing, you make too big a deal out of that. You're making too big of a deal out of that. These people love God too, and they're using something else. Now, you know, leave them alone. Well, first of all, I'm not bothering them. I'm just preaching to you. I'm just preaching to us. And it is a big deal. It either is the Word of God or it's we either have it or we don't have it. And so if we, you know, we cannot backpedal on these things. We've got to take our stand. You say, yeah, but folks are getting mad. Do you understand that in the end times, people are going to be mad? And we're going to look like the bad guys. But we're not the bad guys. We're just preaching the truth. And anyway, so let's move on. 2 Thessalonians 2. 2 Thessalonians 2. And a couple of verses here. Verse 3, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Again, let no man deceive you. Men will be very, very deceitful. Verse 9, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. Again, the deceit, you know, lying wonders. Now, I'm not disputing that Satan has power. God has let him have power. I have seen the evidence of Satan's power. I've seen supernatural things. I don't ever doubt the supernatural. Okay, if God allows it to take place, it can take place. If God allows Satan to have power to do things, it can take place. Somebody said, can Satan heal? Satan does not heal, but Satan does make sick, and he can take away the sick. Are y'all with me on this? And that can be deceptive in and of itself. It can be a means of deception. Again, just because a person is healed doesn't necessarily mean that somebody doing this is the reason. Amen. Because again, we all have seen, but there's also fake healings that take place, and we've experienced. You know, Ernest Angley. you know, but he had a huge following. And these guys today have huge followings. You know, get in the healing line. You get in the line, and well, you know, we need a donation of $500, whatever. And again, don't misunderstand me. God does heal. Amen. We anoint people. Don, how many you've been with me? We've anointed lots of people down in my office. And believe in that with all our hearts. I have absolutely no problem with God healing. I do it exactly the way God says. By the way, he's never, nowhere in scriptures that say anything about bringing in a TV crew. Nowhere. It's very clear in scripture what it says. It says, let them call for the elders. Okay, and so you've heard me announce, all the ordained men, if you'll meet down in my office, and that's what we do. And it is a very private, we don't make a big deal out of it. We've never called the newspaper to come in and observe this moment. And we have seen people healed. And we have, but we don't see them foam at the mouth and run around the room and swing from the light. Well, our lights would be hard to swing from in there. But what do we see? We just watch God do what God does. But I've also seen God not heal, right? I've done too many funerals to get up and stand up and say, God always heals. Right? Yeah. So we know that. So, but I'm telling you, this will be very, these healings will be huge, I believe. And as it's becoming, you know, many people are, I've had people say to me, I don't care what the Bible says, I know what I saw. That is so dangerous. I don't care what the Bible says, I know what I experienced. You hear it all the time. You're hearing it more and more today. I don't care what the Bible says, I know I spoke in tongues. You hear it all the time. It's a scary thing, okay? Again, remember verse 9, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. Boy, that is so key. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. And I believe, again, that's those who rejected Christ. Before the rapture took place, they denied, they rejected Christ. They will be especially deceived by all that's going on. And there will be an explanation of the rapture. There will be an explanation of all the things going on, and it will be a lie, total lie. 2 Timothy 3, verse 13. Ushers, if you will come, and we'll go ahead and collect an offering. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 13. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. And so the deceivers will also be deceived. And the more they deceive, the more deceived they will be, you know. And it's going to get worse and worse. And again, we see it in our day. We're not immune to this even right now. Again, evil men and seducers, people that seduce. That's not just sexual, that's seducing people to believe a certain way, seducing people away from what they always believe. One of the big movements of the day and one of the biggest headaches we have had this past year is this this grace movement. In other words, once I get saved, God doesn't require anything. I can do whatever I want. I'm free. And you're going to hear more and more of that. You're going to knock on more and more doors and ask people if you've been saved. And they're going to say, oh, you know, I did all that. Now I'm free and I can do whatever I want to do. And they may be smoking a cigarette. They maybe have a can of beer in their hand. Any number of things. And it's like, you know, that's not all we preach. In fact, you haven't heard me preach about that in a long time. But it's like, hey, look at me. I'm free in Christ, and I can do whatever I want to do. Nah, 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 nah. It's huge. These people have been seduced into going the way of their flesh, period. Now, you know, I will probably get in trouble for what I just said, although I doubt it. But, well, unless the drones are all around. But I'm telling you, folks, look, we're free in Christ. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. We're free of sin. We're free of the punishment and the guilt. And praise God for that. But if you love me, keep my commandments. God wants us to keep his word. He wants us to follow his word and not our flesh. And this seducing is going on all over the world. And good people that used to take a solid stand are just, they're falling off the map. They really are. And it's going to be much, much worse. Well, I'm running out of time. Back to Revelation 12, and we'll finish this up next week. Revelation 12 and verse 9 is a verse, the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. Deceiveth the whole world. You know, his goal is a mastery of deceit over the whole world. And you know, we try to imagine how this could possibly happen, where people will by the millions worship the Antichrist, and yet deceit will cause you to do unbelievable things. When you have been deceived, you will do things you never thought you would do. When you are living in the land of untruth, you will say things, you will do things, you will act in a way that people, it's like, what in the world are they thinking? You know, and that's how the whole world's going to be in those days. It is going to be a terrible, terrible time.